Some sad news this morning. Seriously, that's the news, according to me. Good morning, folks. It is 7:53 a.m. March 26th, 2024. And just got news this morning. Been trying to follow what's going on. About what happened to the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It apparently has been struck by a container ship. And it has collapsed. Now, there are a lot of symbology and symbolisms here. I am not one to say that take it for what you will, but there are Jonathan Kahn is extremely good at doing this. He's very, very skilled at it, and he's accurate in what he does. But I do believe that there are things like this that happen that speak to our nation. If you know anything about who Francis Scott Key is, they keep calling it the Key Bridge, the Key Bridge. It's the Francis Scott Key Bridge, if you know anything about Francis Scott Key. Who allegedly wrote the Star-Spangled Banner. Now, we don't know if this was an accident. We don't know anything about the investigation yet. There's going to be all kinds of speculation, and I'm not going to jump into anything in that regard. But I do believe that what we are witnessing is something very incredible. I'm glad I have in my cup this morning, I have some chai with some Cinnabon Kramer. And I happen to be home in my home studio, even though I need to go into work a little later. The situation is very serious there. So prayers go out to those who were on the bridge at the time. I know they pulled at least two people from the water. It's not sure whether there were seven more they were looking for or if those two were part of the seven that they were originally looking for. But who knows who else may have been on the bridge at the time. I think they're counting how many cars went in the water, how many people they think are missing. And of course, there could be more. But so our prayers go out to those people who are involved in that whole thing, the rescue effort and everything else that's going on there, that everyone's kept safe and that they're able to get everybody out. I was originally planning on talking on some things this morning. I didn't get to have a show yesterday morning, and there's some things some developments that have happened and some things that I've been made aware of that are rather alarming in many ways. And I'm not really sure at this point what it's confusing in some ways because it seems as if the left maybe has a whole lot more going on with planning, and there's nobody in the public eye that I see who is smart enough to figure this stuff out. So there's got to be somebody behind this whole thing that's a team of people, whatever it is, that's orchestrating some of this stuff. Or, however, it could just be a spiritual thing happening. Now, I don't know much about the bridge. If anything else, if I find anything else more about this, what happened. As far as I know, a container ship struck the bridge at some point, and it was somebody said it rammed the bridge, But it struck the bridge, and the bridge came down. The bridge collapsed almost. It twisted and busted in a couple of places, and then very shortly after that, it just came down. There are some video footages of it online that you can see. That's all I know at this point, so I'm just gonna leave it at that, and I'm gonna press on with what the show is supposed to be about. My concern right now is I'm gonna talk about a couple of things that are happening with the whole Donald Trump saga. Now, one of the things that just some filling in some background things over the weekend or just yesterday, I guess it was yesterday. This was the first opportunity as of yesterday, midnight yesterday morning, whenever I guess it was. Letitia James will forever be identified as the Trump hater. That's all she is. She just foams vehemently at the mouth whenever she mentions his name. She has a deep, seething hatred for the man, and believes that everyone else does too, or that they should. And she thinks that she's a hero saving the world by going after Donald Trump and trying to bankrupt the guy. And this is not just her. There's a whole consortium of people here that are involved in this whole thing. $500 million fine for a victimless crime that everybody who was involved was happy with the deal and wanted to do more. He didn't defraud anybody. They say it's not a politically motivated thing. It's just, they just want to take and of course, in the process there, I guarantee you Letitia James is lining her own pockets with funds that are coming, that are going to come in from this whole thing. She's going to be seen as the hero, the Robin Hood. Went after Donald Trump, this illegitimate president. She twitches at the face. Her face contorts every time she says anything about Donald Trump. I don't know what Donald Trump personally did to her, but she seems to think that she's taken it upon herself to go after this guy, and she's a hero for doing so. She is destroying New York. And she doesn't care. Investors are pulling out of everywhere. She doesn't care. She feels like she's doing the right thing. She's justified. She's the hero. Well, apparently an appellate court yesterday reduced the fine, the bail money that he has to put up. Which basically has to put up the whole amount of the fine to appeal the original settlement. And he's going to be out millions of dollars even if he wins the appeal. And you've got people on the left. Bill Maher, I wish I could play this clip, and maybe I'll be able to collect this thing. There's so many things going on right now. As the week progresses, Friday, hopefully there'll be a show, regular show Friday. And as the appeal goes on, they're saying, oh, this guy's so lucky. How can this guy be so lucky? He must have made a deal with the devil, they say. Must have made a deal with the devil. Because he's so lucky, he keeps getting off scot-free and all these things that are, you know, he does all this corruption, all this stuff he does, he keeps getting off scot-free. The left has no moment, apparently. Now, Bill Maher has actually had to shake his head and concede a few things lately. Some people have been confronting him. People on the left have been confronting him about some things about Trump. Frank Luntz, he's an establishment hack, is what he is. He's a leftist. He's also a collectivist. There's no question about that. He's part of that whole crowd. But he's also he's a well-known pollster. He's a very highly regarded pollster in the Washington circles. He was on MSNBC the other day, and I'm not going to play the video because I think maybe you've heard it already. I've heard it about a million times, but he just goes on to say that, look, if they start seizing his properties, they're giving him the presidency because people are going to see this as a corrupt they're going to see him as a victim, and they're going to, this nation has a tendency to stand behind the underdog. And if they see the government, the full force of the government going after Donald Trump, they're going to say, well, look, we got to get this, you know, this guy, this has got to be vindicated. And that's what's happening. And he said every time that they do, every time they have an indictment, every time something happens that they go after him, he goes up in the polls. And he said, I guarantee you, if you seize one of his assets, you are guaranteeing him to be the president. Now, there are some traps being set here, and I want to be, they are, it's basically, this is scorched earth type thing. They know they're on their way out, which I just, leads me to believe, and again, they're talking about debates with Joe Biden. No, I would say no. Put up your real, who's going to be your real candidate? Well, I'll debate that person. I'm not going to waste my time debating somebody who you're not even going to put on the ballot in November. I cannot believe that everybody on the left is going to stand by and watch Donald Trump, who's trouncing Biden in the polls. They keep bolstering up everything he's doing. Oh, the economy's great. Wages are up. Unemployment's down. Inflation is stabilized. Yeah, well, stabilized pretty high. The stock market's booming. Folks, that is not that's not what American people are feeling. The bulk of America, the middle class, is not feeling that at all. The upper middle class is actually doing fairly well, but they are again splitting the divide between the haves and the have-nots. They are not enriching and helping and strengthening the middle class in this country, which is what this country was built for. They're gutting it. And they're trying to make everybody poor. And then they will control the rich through taxation. It is an amazing, amazing thing to sit here and watch this actually happen without anybody understanding or stepping in and trying to stop. Well, there are some people who are stepping in and trying to stop it, but it just blows my mind. And I don't know what else to do besides write my congressman and write my senators, who seem to have no response. I get back from them is a cookie cutter response form letter. Thank you for your response. Mike Braun, for example. I usually don't mention any names, but I did send a letter to him recently, not that long ago, within the last year. Scathing letter. Just laid it, because he said some things, did some things I totally disagreed with. Now, he's a guy I voted for. And I let him know I'm not going to vote for him again. I'm not. I won't vote for the other guy, but I'm not voting for him. So good luck. Yeah, so he just lost one little vote, one little puny little me. But I was, yeah, anyway, all I got back was a thank you for your response and we appreciate your input. That's all I got. Because they're disconnected. They don't care. They don't care. There's a guy who recently, I think he's going to be a superstar. I can't remember his name. he's actually a state representative. And I don't know where he's a state representative. I'm trying to look this up here as I'm talking. He was speaking before Congress the other day on the federal level, and he was got into kind of a back and forth with a particular representative. And sure enough, the representative said the quiet part out loud, basically saying we need to make these deals with these economic powers, these corporations, basically, that we shouldn't be representing our constituents back home. blows me away. Let me see if I can find his name here. Adam Morgan. That's the guy's name. Adam Morgan. Yeah. Check him out on YouTube if you have a chance. He's got a couple of exchanges. He's, of course, now he's being invited onto all kinds of channels to talk. Just blatantly, right up front, in your face, this is what the problem is, kind of thing. At least on this issue, he's got it nailed. So to push on further with this whole thing, we've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Sandy Cortez, who apparently is brainless. I know she's in this interview with Jake Tapper on CNN, and she's reading things. People apparently don't notice this stuff. She's looking down at the table. She's obviously reading something. She's got notes in front of her, making these points. Now he's asking her some questions, which typically, honestly, most people don't realize this, but most of the time, these interviewers give the people the questions ahead of time. That is typically the way they operate this stuff, and so they will compile their answers so that they have some kind of continuity and be able to be. Not, they won't do that necessarily to people they don't like, but they will give the questions to people like Sandy Cortez. And you can tell she's obviously reading stuff off of the table. She's looking down at her notes. She's frantically fishing for something off of her notes. She's looking for something. Now, I don't know that. Now she keeps her head up and her eyes are down, which is. I notice this stuff a lot. Now, Joe Biden the other day, in fact, had this little weird thing where he was standing with Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi doing what was supposed to be a live stream. I don't think they understand what a live stream is. They pre-recorded this whole thing, edited all kinds of things, had all kinds of edits in and out. Questions being asked, and they answered the questions as they went along. Clipped, you know, they had all kinds of hard cuts here and there, and it was obviously being edited. So they might have put the thing out as a live. Of course, they put live up on the site on one screen, you know, so it says live. Well, it's got to be live. I don't know that I never heard anything, Barack Obama say anything during the whole thing. I saw bits and clips, but I was looking at the video footage of this thing. It's green screen. They're not standing on a floor. They're not in the room. In fact, if you look carefully, they're keeping them separated. They never once get close enough to each other to interact. In other words, they never touch each other or go behind one another. They're right next to each other, all standing there. And it's obvious they're not standing on a floor the way their feet are sitting. The optics are all off. The scaling is a little bit off. The lighting is a little bit off. It is creepy. And they are not, I don't think they're even all in the same room. I think that they're probably in different places. With green screens behind them, and somebody is superimposing this stuff onto the whole green screen thing. They can put, you know, that makes it look like they're standing in a room, but they're not. It's creepy, and the whole thing was recorded. And then what they do, they can stream it live. You can take a recording. I've done this before. We had a show that I did with my nephew a while back, and we would record things and play the recording later on. Parts of the show were pre-recorded. But you were still streaming it live on a streaming service. Now, you do that for several different reasons. One of the reasons we did that was because that way we take a little break. We had like a two-hour show. And we would pre-record some things and do some things with like news clips and that kind of stuff. But what we'd do, it had nothing to do with regular news. It was a different industry altogether. So we could play that. We're going to go to this, you know, this segment right now. We're going to go to that. And we'd play that. That way it would give us a chance to go to the bathroom once in a while. or talk about what we're going to do next, and are going to get things set up for the next live part of the actual live stream. It was all being streamed live, but some of it was pre-recorded. Well, this whole thing was pre-recorded. They might have been streaming it live. It's when you talk about political theater, this is absolutely theater. That's what they were doing there. So they continue on with this stuff. So AOC goes on Jake Tapper and starts to explain why. And she makes this statement. She goes, no other president, Republican or Democrat, has ever had this many charges against them, blah, 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 blah. This goes on. Yeah, well, take a step back and think about that for a moment. Then she goes on to say that he essentially ordered a terrorist attack on the Capitol building. Now, I'm going to play some of this stuff. I have to find the right spots so you don't... This is courtesy of liberal hive mind. So if you happen to hear him at the beginning or end of one of these little clips, this is Sandy Cortez as she is talking to Jake Tapper here with this, the first part of this.
Under the law, and if that seizure of assets would be pursued to any other American, then Donald Trump should be treated the same. As far as the political implications go, I think that what we are dealing with politically is the much larger and much more grave and serious pressure of having this judgment against Donald Trump and him being in this degree of debt and the financial pressures that he is under and what he is subject to do in order to obtain those assets. I actually think that there is risk in not seizing these assets and the open window that exists in him trying to secure these funds through other means. We've seen a lot of interesting transactions happening with Truth Social and other means, and there's a very real risk of political corruption.
She's concerned about the political corruption because now Donald Trump is compromised because he's under so much stress to pay this debt off. He might accept bribes and he might accept money from foreign powers. Maybe Russia, probably Russia. Because he's a Putin puppet. You know, everybody knows he's a Putin puppet. He just loves Putin. So you go after this guy. You put all this pressure on him. You have all these trumped up charges. And then now you're concerned about the fact that he might squirm. He's compromised because we can't even be the president now because somebody could easily bribe him with money. You created this. You see what they're doing now. All that's coming out of this is he's not bowing any to anybody. But this is what they're going with. Now, the other thing, notice how she says this. This is dangerous. We don't take his assets because now, we got to take this stuff because Orange Man bad. Because, now he's going to be, well, no, if you don't take it, then you're taking it because you're trying to put him in a compromising position. It's just absolutely asinine what these people, where these people go. So let's move forward further into the interview. She goes on to talk about this other part of this. This is kind of interesting. Let's see if I can find this. It's right in here somewhere. I believe it's. She starts talking about this whole thing of no other president has gone through. He asks some questions and she goes into some other things. We'll see what she says here.
What do you say to a voter who says, well, that doesn't look like he's being treated equally before the law? That looks like somebody that the government is going after.
Has there ever been a president, Republican or Democrat, that has been subject to this level of criminal charges, indictments, and investigations? This is not about party.
Has there ever been? Well, no, there hasn't ever been. And why has there never been?
This is not about party.
Oh, no, not at all. No. This is so disingenuous. To say this is not about party. Now, this is where she starts looking down and trying to follow
this
her notes.
This is not about politics. This is about corruption. Not about politics.
It's about corruption.
We're talking about an individual who ordered essentially a terrorist attack on the capital of the United States in order to retain power.
Did you hear what she said? He ordered a terrorist attack on the capital of the United States in order to remain in power. Now, in my opinion, this woman should be sued to high heaven for saying that on national television as a representative in the U.S. Congress. She should be censored. She should be thrown out on her butt with her little dress that says tax the rich. This is blatant misrepresenting of history. No such thing happened. However, here is where we're headed with this thing. And this is the big trap that I think that the Democrats and the establishment Republicans are actually setting for Donald Trump prior to the election. And here's what's going to happen if they can get away with this. We have a very slim margin in the House right now. We have a couple of Republican representatives who are stepping down, retiring. One of them is stepping out of office right after the time is like 10 days after the time where they would do a special election and get another representative in. This is obvious. This is very, very obvious to me. He's doing this deliberately. It's a deliberate act. He's stepping out as representative. And because of their state rules, their state election rules, which they could change if they wanted to, I think they should. I think he's a Wisconsin representative. He's stepping out. He's in a very red part of the state. They would obviously, if they had a special election, there would be another Republican elected. And we'd have another representative in the House. He's stepping out within days after that limitation ends. So they won't have a special election. So they'll finish out the year down another Republican. There is a Colorado Republican also that's doing the same thing. He's stepping out. Lorena Bobert. She was going to run for his seat because she is actually in a very tough area where she's running. So she was going to switch over and run in a different district, which is fine. People do that all the time. They can change districts really quickly. She's going to step over and run in his place because she would almost surely win that seat. But what he's going to do is he's retiring early, and someone else is going to step in. And that person will be considered the incumbent. And they're basically leaving. So the only way that Boebert could do it now is to resign the position she's in and then run for that seat. Because she can't run for two. In other words, they're having a special election right now for that seat. She can't step out and run for it. So this other person will be there. And now you've got an incumbent, and it's very difficult. That person will be the assumed nominee for that position. She can't just step over and run for that position now, because in the election in November, it's a complicated thing. But it's she can't do it. So they're shutting her out. There is an underbelly within the Republican establishment that is doing this stuff. Roman McDaniel, who was in charge of the RNC. Now, keep in mind, Michael Steele was in charge of the RNC. He was the chairman of the RNC, is now a full-blown Democrat on MSNBC, CNN, everywhere else. He's a contributor to all those things, and he's a total Trump opposer, and he totally talks against the Republican Party now. This was a guy who was the chairman of the RNC. as a full, I wouldn't be surprised if he all of a sudden becomes the chairman of the DNC. This gives you some idea of the uniparty type thing we got going on here. This is why Donald Trump, the non-establishment outsider, is popular in this country. Because we realize we've got to get somebody back in there who's not a part of this machine. Who's not bought and paid for by big corporations like GE and Boeing. Unions, the car manufacturers, everything else that's out there. These people are bought and paid for. And I'm sure some of these representatives who are stepping down right now are probably going to go to work for Boeing or going to go to work for somebody. They get paid off, get this golden parachute. Oh, yeah, here's an office for you. You're going to sit in this office. You're going to get paid $1 million a year and sit there and wait. Wait it out until you run again. We'll get you all set up. That's what happens. That's what happened to Jim Comey. A lot of these people, Nikki Haley, same thing. Look at these jobs with these big companies all of a sudden. Doing what? I don't know. Never talk about what they do, these companies. It is so corrupt, it's unbelievable. It's just the corruption is just unbelievable. So she has the audacity to sit here and say now that the president ordered an insurrection. He ordered this attack on the Capitol building. This is like somebody accusing someone of, I guess we can't say the word rape anymore. It's the R word now. I hear everybody on YouTube, but they never say that word anymore. Are they filtering that word? Are they demonetizing people for that? Is that all of a sudden like the N word now? We can't say the R. They're calling it the R word. I don't understand this. Because it's a thing and it needs to be talked about. This trap that they're setting for Donald Trump, and this is where it gets really difficult here, is they could potentially end up with Hakeem Jeffries as the House could flip. The House could switch. And there are establishment Republicans who don't care. They are willing to fall on their sword because they're not really falling on their swords because they're going to, I guarantee you, someone's paying them off to do it. They're going to step down, step out, whatever they got to do. Remember how many people retired from Congress? If you remember what happened in Trump's first 2 years in office, they had the House and the Senate, but the House was full of snakes. A lot of establishment Republicans who hated Trump and didn't want to, they couldn't get the wall funded because of Republicans. And look where we are now because of that. This isn't the Democrats' fault. This is the establishment Republicans that put this in motion because they would not put the wall. If we had a wall up right now, this would not be a problem. This would be much less of an issue right now. They are changing demographics. They are changing representatives. They're probably going to add another, I think it's up to 17 possibly with all the people that are coming into, because they don't count legal or illegal people, immigrants being here. People being here illegally, they're not illegal people. Okay, you got to be careful with that one. People being here, they just count them. So they can increase representatives. You get another 17 Democrat representatives in place. And where does that put us now in the House? You got 3 or 4 million people coming into the country. It's going to change the demographics. They don't care about the voting. And now there's other places where they're telling them they can vote in local elections. You tell me. You hand somebody a ballot and they go into the ballot box. No matter how they do it, whether it's electronically or paper ballot. Is there going to be a difference in their ballot? They're going to not have the presidential candidates on that ballot? I guarantee you they're going to count them. Well, you can't count. You can't vote for the president here. Don't check any of those boxes. They walk out. They stick it in the little machine. It counts it. And nobody checks to see what boxes they checked off. Of course, that would be intrusion. Really? You think those people are going to be honest enough? Those people who broke the law to get here. We're sitting here watching our nation be overturned. This is like a slow motion coup happening in front of us. And we're just wringing our hands. We'll see what happens. I don't know. But what I'm getting at here, this whole trap, and I guess maybe I didn't make myself clear. I'm going to finish out my complete thought here. Once they get this ability to take over the House, the Supreme Court made it very clear, winked at them and said, hey, you can't do this. States can't do this. But Congress can, wink, wink, and you guys need to get your act together, and Congress needs to vote and say that he committed an insurrection. And then you can go after this guy for all your worry. You can take him off the ballot. You can do all kinds of things. You can't run for president. That's what they were doing. So the wheels started getting set into motion as soon as that happened. Because ever since then, it wasn't before that we had all these announcements of all these retirements and all these people leaving office. This has happened since the Supreme Court ruling. Oh, well, then we'll just fix Congress. We'll get these guys out. We'll get Jeffries to take over the speakership. And there away we go. All we have to do is, and now, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think she misstepped here a little bit. She's asking for a motion to vote to vacate. I think it was more of a shot over the bow, but it was for Speaker Johnson. Now Johnson, I appreciate Johnson. At the same time, I'd like to play this one clip. It's quite an exchange that they're having with this whole. They're trying to do an amendment to this one particular bill, and Johnson is saying, "No, it goes against this. This is one of the articles here. We cannot go against this." This changes the face of the bill. You can't do that. And of course, Nadler is sitting there arguing the fact that, no, it doesn't change the bill. It restricts the bill. We can restrict the bill all we want to. Well, no, it does. It doesn't just restrict the bill. It adds to the bill. It changes the whole face of the bill. The key points of the bill. It's very obvious. And he's trying to point that out to him. And they're going back and forth with this argument. It got pretty testy. At least he stands up for some of those kinds of things. What they were essentially trying to do was say that, and what this bill does is that it immortalizes the fact that the Democrats, who were not so long ago screaming defund the police, now they're saying, oh, we never said that. And by the way, you know, we need to. It all goes back to the January 6th thing. You know, they want to add all kinds of things that add to the January 6th thing. And then this one Johnson, this one guy who thinks the island's going to tip over, he gets up there and he starts talking like this. And when they start talking like this, very dramatically, you know that they're just full of bull. It just ticks me off that they're not speaking. It's theater. Once again, it's theater. And he goes on with this whole thing about how there have been six Capitol Police, seven, maybe it's eight now, eight Capitol Police now that have died since the insurrection. Any Capitol Police now who die since January 6th they died because of January 6th. They were killed that day because, they might have died yesterday of a heart attack, but that still doesn't matter. It was January 6th. They were there. And by the way, no officers died on January 6th. None. Zero. But you wouldn't know that to hear them talk on the House floor, lying through their teeth, saying, we lost five officers that day. Nancy Pelosi has said that. They took Officer Sicknick and put him in the rotunda, laying in state as one of the victims of January 6th. He didn't die that day. He died of an aneurysm the next day. I was like, the next day or day after that. He reported he was still at work that day. Folks, we are in a world of hurt if we can't figure this out. This has got to, we got to straighten this stuff up. And the news media and the leftists are all complicit in this whole thing. They are running our country into a ditch, and they don't care. Because they don't care about our country and its founding. They don't care about anything this country stands for. They really don't. They're cutting off their nose in spite of their face. And that's all I know. That's all I can say. Well, folks, I'll try to get more information. I don't know what's probably going to have a show tomorrow morning. I'm not sure about Thursday morning at this point. It looks like I might be able to have a show Thursday morning. Things have been pretty light at work lately. We'll see what happens today. But I've got to get myself out of here and get going. But I do want to thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And do pray for the folks that are involved in the whole thing, what's going on with the Key Bridge there in New York. And it's just, yeah, we'll find out more about it as the day rolls on. We'll find out what happened, more about it as the investigation. Really, really can't say much until the DOT and National Transportation Safety Board, NTSB, kind of has more of their investigation and gives some findings on the whole thing. And if we can trust what they're saying right now with under this administration, under Buttigieg, we'll see what happens. God bless, folks. Pray for our nation. Pray for each other. These are trying times. We will get through them. Amen.